Alright, good evening, everybody. We're going to go ahead and get started. Welcome to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Seth, and I am an alcoholic. For those of you who care to join us, let's open the meeting with a serenity prayer. God?
Praise you. Accept things I cannot change. Courage to change things I can. And the wisdom to know the difference.
Alright, the Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use the room, to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. They are across the main foyer and up the flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and an effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that the Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from this illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA simple actions. I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other so that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorse nor oppose any causes. The primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing Step 12, Part 2. Please welcome to our panel this evening, Mark and Kevin. I will read the first paragraph on page 96. Page 96. And then the panel will share for a few minutes on each paragraph. All right. Step 12, Part 2, page 96. Suppose now you are making your second visit to a man. He has read this volume. It says he is prepared to go through the 12 steps of the program of recovery. Having had that experience yourself, you can give him much practical advice. Let him know you are available if he wishes to make a decision and tell his story. But do not insist upon if he prefers to consult someone else. And we never did the coin flip to see who wants to go first. So
he's closer.
I'm Mark, alcoholic.
Hey, Mark.
Happy to be with y'all. It's all good, always good to come over to Simple Actions. You give your sobriety date or no? My sobriety date is February 20th, 1987. And I see at least one person in this room that was here when I got here. I don't know about anybody else, but it's good to be with y'all. Now, usually there's some people that are pretty new to the program here. I don't know if there's tonight or not, but it's good to be with you. All right. So, now I forgot the question. I think on a second visit with somebody, that was the question, I think, it's tough to expect a lot, and it's probably best not to expect anything more than just, compassion from me, and let them tell me what they would like to express and what seems to be their suffering at this particular time. I always try to refer back to some real simple actions. If words are short, new people. I like to go back to, you know, the first few steps and discuss that in a, where it all begins, in a power greater than ourselves, and seems to be the hardest thing to get a hold of when you first come in, get a grip on. Seems to be the source of our power and where we get our energy and our will to live. I think I'll keep it simple right there. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Kevin, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
My sobriety date is December 13, 2016. My home group is We Are Not Saints. We meet on Saturday at 6, Sunday at 6, and Mondays at 7. It's off of Shore Drive. Just look it up in the app. But, so, for me, my experience with making my second visit with someone, I would kind of handle it like I was handled. I had a sponsor. My temporary sponsor at first was very patient with me, and he kind of gave me some direction, but very, very gently. And that was kind of what I needed. And he allowed me to do a lot of talking. So that's kind of how I've handled it. I've only had the pleasure of sponsoring a couple guys. They're not around, but you know, I was available, and I was very happy with that. And I would definitely not try to push them, but if they had already read the volume and said they were prepared to go through the 12 steps, I would definitely start talking about step one, because that was so important for me, just as the foundation, obviously, you know, I guess it's why it's step one, but for me to just make that acknowledgement, because that for me was the beginning of my spiritual experience. Just being able just to, it really gave me like a lot of peace, just to say I was an alcoholic and mean it. Because I remember when I first met with my sponsor, he asked me, you know, do you think you're an alcoholic? And I really didn't have an answer. And he told me to read the doctor's opinion. And then when we met the second time, we talked about that. And I definitely was, that was the hook, line, and sinker, talking about the allergy, because I wasn't an everyday drinker. And so that was very helpful that he asked me those questions and allowed me to go read for myself. And then the second time, when we talked about if I was, I was able to say I was. And so that gave me the, you know, just, I guess, the God consciousness to start working the steps, because I was in. You know, I definitely felt a part of just saying alcoholic, because reading the daughter's opinion, I felt that way. You know, I felt like once I took one, I couldn't stop. And having had that experience myself, you know, the only advice I would give him would be, you know, like they told me, like, just to keep coming back. You know, every meeting we always ended with setting up another meeting, of getting together, or setting up when we were meeting at a meeting, or my sponsor asked me what meeting I was going to next. And just letting them, they always let me know that they were available, and that's what I would do for him, is be available, because that's my job. Is once he asks me, my only job is to say yes or no. Not to be worried about what, have any expectations, you know, for me, have any expectations of what he should be doing or how he's gonna get sober. It's just if I'm available to do what my job is, as you know, for him to ask for help. And I wouldn't insist upon him telling a story, but if he wanted to open up, I would definitely be available for it. Thanks.
Thank you. All right. Next page is page 98. It is not the matter of giving that is in question, but when or how to give. That often makes the difference between failure and success. The minute we put our work on a service plane, the alcoholic commences to rely upon the assistance rather than upon God. He clamors for this or that, claiming he cannot master alcohol until his material needs are cared for. Nonsense. Some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn this truth. Job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God. Burn the idea into your consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. The only condition is that he trusts in God and clean house. Mark?
Trust in God and clean house. Great. Yeah, this is the only thing that's really necessary when you first come in is that you read this big book and you work the steps and you start where you're at. And to think that going to work or taking care of, trying to make money, which is, we all know it will come if you work the steps. And to think about getting diverted from what you really need to do, trusting God and clean house. It's as simple as that, Dr. Bob. I was thinking about when I was coming over here that when I came in, been a little while, the guys that I got the message from, my very first meeting, I heard it loud and clear. I heard it just as clear as I've ever heard it, that there was a power that would keep me sober and it would keep me alive. And if I was willing to do a few simple things, and to think that, I remember very well someone telling me that my most important thing was to be where I was at and to work these steps and to work. I would go to a 12-on-12 meeting, and we think often that there's something else that's going to get us, sober. We have disease of alcoholism, and I know from being around that's not true. And those guys that were here earlier and the women, they had something that I can't say I don't see a lot of it today, but they had a really strong desire to. They knew that God kept them in this program, and everybody knows that when you come through the door, God's the last thing you want to hear. And so you come to this power greater than yourself. And they were very frank with me that power would save my life, that it was there. And that alcoholic that told me his story that night convinced me that so well of his story that I believed him. My very first meeting, I believed what he was saying was the truth. I didn't leave there doubting what he said. I just couldn't figure out how to make that work in my life. So when I'm with somebody new, I think that remains the factor. That's the common denominator for all of us, that we have to find that power. And my job with a newcomer is not to corral them or her or, do anything to divert them from their primary purpose, to stay sober and, come around to you, believe, and it works for you. It will work for you. It took me a few years to figure that out, actually. So I understand it.
When I first came, I used to get so almost ashamed when I would open my mouth and say like dumb stuff to my sponsors, and then they would just kind of just look at me with like patience and then give me their experience, and I would be like, man, I didn't think about it that way. And that's kind of what I got from this paragraph, is like I'm very thankful when somebody knew that I'm working with, or somebody I'm not working with, that they just happened to tell me something that they think matters so much, because I was that way. Once alcohol was my best friend, and when it got taken away from me, it seemed like it stopped working. I really felt lost, and all these other character defects started cropping up that I thought needed to be in place, because I was always looking for something outside of me to make me whole. Man, if I just had this girlfriend, or my wife just did this, or my job did that. And it's like everything got amplified once I was no longer drinking. And I just need this. Oh, that's what I need. I need to read John Maxwell. Or no, I need to change jobs, you know, this job isn't working out for me. And so I started really rattling out of control. And that's where the sponsors always came in and helped me. Just, you know, slow down, Kevin. You know, just keep coming back. You know, we'll just take it easy. And that's where our reliance upon God. And from the beginning, my sponsor just asked me if I knew about prayer and told me, you know, just get on my knees. And just, he had me saying a third set prayer at first. And then he told me to have me modify it, you know, to my own liking. And that kind of helped me develop a dependence on God, because I learned to realize that, you know, just like how I was reaching out for alcohol to make me whole, I could look for these things to make me whole. And I had to watch for that, because they were always going to fail me. Even if I had the job I wanted, the wife I wanted, or anything, it was going to fail me. And that's where alcohol always would come in, because in my mind, that never failed me. I could always get that off the shelf, because I always wanted control. You know, I wanted control. And so alcohol was the one thing that I knew, man, I could always grab this off the shelf and it's gonna get me where I need to be, because my wife is acting up now, my kids ain't listening, the job isn't listening. And you know, the only condition is that I trust in God and clean house. And clean house is important, because for me, I always have these things that are going to crop up that I'm almost, I don't know if the words are ashamed of, but just that go bump in the dark, you know, and being afraid of those things, you know, if I keep them always in the dark, they don't go away. They just get bigger. And once I clean house, it kind of brings, it brought me one with myself. And then I could just face all these things and do the action of relying on God, because I knew that I was going to be okay. And that's why cleaning house was important for me, because I needed to know that, you know, I had all these things happen that I thought mattered, that I was scared of, I didn't want anybody to know. Now I have no control of them because my sponsor knows about them and I'm still okay. And I actually feel better because they're out in the open now. You know, and that's all I got on that. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next reading is continued on page 98. Now the domestic problem. There may be divorce, separation, or just strained relations. When your prospect has made such reparation as he can to his family and has thoroughly explained to them the new principles by which he is living, he should proceed to put those principles into action at home. That is if he is lucky enough to have a home. Though his family be at fault in many respects, he should not be concerned about that. He should not concentrate on his own spiritual demonstration. Argument and fault-finding are to be avoided like the plague. In many homes, this is a difficult thing to do, but it must be done if any results are to be expected. If persisted, and for a few months, the effect on a man's family is sure to be great. The most incomparable people discover that they have a basis upon which they can meet. Little by little, the family may see their own defects and admit them. These can be discussed in an atmosphere of helpfulness and friendliness.
Mark. All right. When a person sees their own defects, that's good. That's bonus. That's what it's all about, because otherwise, you're defending yourself. I was thinking that I attend a beginner Al-Anon meeting every week, and I think the people that have alcoholics that are getting recovery, it just tears them up to think that they're spending all their time working on this, their program, and finally not drinking, and they're never around. So I do know that this is a common problem, and even in 1935, it's also today, you know. So, I think that I find that, I think if I give somebody something, it would have to be compassion. I think it takes a lot of compassion to not drink and not do the instant cure. So, and I understand that the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic suffer from the very same thing. When someone does see their own defects and starts to admit them, they're just one step close to that bottom, you know, that place we all need to be, and surrender. I don't know how much you can really say about all this. Two people can't work their program together. I've learned that because I've been with my wife since we were teenagers. We've been through it. We've been through the ringers. You can't always work your program together. You have to, you know, work what you're working on and that person work on what they're working on. And hopefully when they go back together, there's rules of engagement that we learn here, you know, that are just the proper way and a decent way to treat each other that has not been the norm, you know. So that's the beginning of a new life, I see. Pass.
When I came, I was coming, I was in the middle of a really stressful divorce. And I had been separated for about a year, and it was just a crazy time emotionally. And so once I decided to get sober, you know, I really wanted to make reparations to them and it all go away, you know. But you know, I had explained to them my new principle of living, and you know, they kind of poo-pooed it at first. They were like, yeah, right, you know, you've been acting a fool, you know, being divorced from you left us, you know, that was the narrative. You left, which I did leave, I did move out the house, and life wasn't the same, dad's not here, and I just had to really put those principles in action and be everything that I was saying that I was, and not trying to get them to see what I was and say, okay, now we see, look for their validation. I would just try to be the principles, you know, into action in my own life, and then they would definitely come around and see it. And that's all I could really do in the beginning, is concentrate on my own spiritual demonstration. You know, because there was a lot of argument and fault finding that I could always lean on and point the finger, you know, but that never helped. And that wasn't a spiritual way of living for me, because even if I was right, I could never get away from a fight and still be at peace. Because there was sometimes I fought and argued and was on a righteous high horse and was right and still felt like crap. And so, you know, God just kind of, I was thankful for the steps to kind of help me with those challenges. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next reading is on page 100. Both you and your new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have ever planned. Follow the dictates of a higher power, and you will presently live in a new and wonderful life, no matter what you present, what your present circumstances. Mark?
I start my day every day in meditation. I always joke, I do two things in the morning. One, I get on a scale, and then I sit on my meditation cushion. And they both do something for me. So, prayer and meditation is definitely the way that I start my day, and it gets longer and longer as my sobriety goes on, and I'm thankful for that. I think that it's pretty, I mean, you can't go wrong with it, you know. I don't know how much this I can really say about that, except that it is the practice that we all need to practice. Is, you know, we don't tell God what to do. You know, we quiet our minds so God could come into our lives. You know, if, you know, we don't send all these, you know, half-baked prayers to God, telling God what's going to happen. And I think prayer and meditation does the opposite. It clears space to hear what we've been going over in the program. You know, I mean, I think of all these years I've been doing this, and it just, it still works. It's the same stuff, still works in my life. And I just have to be quiet sometimes to absorb it and make room for it, really, you know. A pass.
One of the good things about my current sponsor is that he's, at first I thought he was just like a smart guy, maybe my life coach, and just listen and guide me through life. And man, he is really incredible in ways because he really talks a lot when we hang out about where he's fallen short, and then how he's overcome those later, you know, in sobriety. Like, man, you know, he would handle this differently if he wasn't sober, and, you know, a certain challenge he may have had with his family or at work, and how he navigated. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but we always talk about it, and that really helps me, because for me, remarkable things have happened even when I thought they weren't. You know, last week I was telling at another meeting, I was working on Tuesday, and my 17-year-old son, he was just having a terrible day. And so my ex-wife, no one's in school. My ex-wife was calling me. I'm working and I'm pissed. Cause I'm like, I was on vacation the week before. I got work to do. And so I hang up the phone. I didn't. And so then my daughter calls me. You need to come over here. And you guys know I'm working. And then my other daughter calls me. You need to come over here and deal with the brother, my son, and he's just not listening, and he is getting out of hand. And it was like a higher voice, and I attest this really for me to the 12 steps. It's like, just go. And I really didn't know what to do. And so I go over there, and he's in the driveway, he's yelling and screaming. It was not a pretty picture. It was like, I really didn't know what to do. But where the steps came through for me was, we were talking, we were able to calm him down. His mom had to leave. That was the challenge. She couldn't leave because he was just going ham, because he wanted something. He couldn't get what he wanted. And so we talked, and where the remarkable thing came from was him and I are sitting there talking, and I was telling him about, I said, what would have happened 5 years ago if I would have had to come over here from work and deal with you, and you didn't listen? I said, I would have bounced your head off that driveway. And he said, I said, you think so? And he said, yeah, you would have. I said, but I didn't. That's not, and I was telling, how we started talking about that was because I was trying to tell him to be more present and selfish with his own peace. Because I said, the reason why I'm not yoking you up is not because of you, it's because of me. Because even if I would come here, tighten you up, and then you listen, I would leave and feel like crap. Because I was just forcing my will on you and not really getting to it and not keeping myself peaceful, even though I got you to do what I wanted you to do. And he understood that, you know. And then so I get away, and it's not really an out of, I didn't feel like, man, I conquered this. I was just like, man, that's nice. You know, that's nice because these things that used to baffle me, a lot of times I can't see him in the act of it, because I think for my ego, I would be cheering before the basket went in the basket, went in the hoop, you know. So I really can't see him until I get away from him, and see how life has changed for me. And that's one of the remarkable things, because I was the undisciplined disciplinarian, because that's how I was raised. I figured kids should listen, and if they don't, you knock them upside the head. And that's never worked. But I didn't see that didn't work until getting sober and realizing that it didn't work on me. You know, I couldn't heal it from not learning that it didn't work on him. I had to realize for myself. And those are things that just keep happening every day, you know. And then, you know, 2 days later, I fail in arguing with the ex-wife, so I'm 50-50 from the field. But, you know, I keep coming back. And I was telling my sponsor that we went and had lunch on Friday, and I was telling him that. And he was like, that's God both ways. That's God because you saw that you were able to help that situation. And that's God that you saw that you didn't help the situation. Because both ways, it's going to benefit you, where you could come through it and realize that you're not the most important thing in these whole situations, you know, and just treat people, you know, how treat yourself, you know, in these situations, how you want somebody to treat themselves. Like, would you want them screaming at you and inhaling that way, Kevin? And, you know, I wouldn't. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin. That's cool.
All right. The next reading is on page 100. Assuming we are spiritually fit, we can do all sorts of things alcoholics are not supposed to do. We have said we must not go where liquor is served. We must not have it in our homes. We must shun friends who drink. We must avoid moving pictures which show drinking scenes. We must not go into bars. Our friends must hide their bottles if we go to their houses. We mustn't think or be reminded about alcohol at all. Our experience shows that this is not necessarily so. We meet these conditions every day. An alcoholic cannot meet them. Still has an alcoholic mind. Yeah, so there is something the matter with his spiritual status. His only chance for sobriety would be someplace like Greenland Ice Cap. And even there, an Eskimo might turn up with a bottle of scotch and ruin everything. Ask any woman who has sent her husband to a distant places on the theory he would escape the alcohol problem. Mark.
Yeah, this here is, I have two sides of my sobriety. One where this didn't work, and one side for the last 33 years that it did work. And years before that, I tried that. I tried to be around it. I tried to think that I could willpower it. And I didn't have any success. But going back to the thing about having a spiritual experience, when I started working step two, after 2 years of being in and out of the program, drinking was the only thing that could make me feel better up until that point. But after I, you know, the concept of God, you know, I surrendered to God, I never had a problem with this at all. I've been in extreme alcohol situations. I mean, I was in Key West at the March Madness. Ellie was sick, she went to bed. I went out because I wanted to watch the game, and I was crazy as everybody else, and I had a really good time. And I have honestly lost the desire to drink. I would not go back and back and back, of course, but I don't try to avoid situations, especially if I have some business there and I can do some good in some cases, or just something that I want to do and there's alcohol around. So I know that it's more of an internal thing in our relation with our, you know, our power greater than ourselves and our surrender and being relieved of the desire to drink. Now, I know there's people that are sober for many years and they drink again. I don't know what to say with that. I would not spend my, you know, like it said, I think it says somewhere you can go to lunch and, you know, people are drinking. And, you know, I've did lots of that over the years, lots of it. I've met alcoholics that have later recovered in those situations, quite a few of them actually. And so I know for a fact that that's up to where you're at in your program. I know when I had my spiritual experience and I was relieved of the power, you know, desire to drink early on after those 2 years of hell. And I haven't had a desire to drink. And I've had people pour booze in my drinks. I've had all that. And I, you know, honestly, to rescue drunks out of a drinking situation is, you know, it's never been one of my things that I felt like was really something that worked, but I've been in them myself. So the power of a program has kept me from having the desire to drink. And I think if I, honestly, I think it's like it says, if you don't have that, you're probably going to drink anyway somewhere. You don't have to be in those situations to do it. I think that's kind of where I'm at with it, so I'll pass.
I like that when it says, assuming we are spiritually fit, you know, we can do all sorts of things alcohol is not supposed to do. I met a couple of friends last week at Baxter's. We were going to watch the high school playoff game. And so I said, yeah, you know, I'll meet you guys there, because they were all saying they were going to go there. And I was like, you know, I live in Norfolk, I'll just come over. Like, well, we don't want to drink. My buddy said, I don't want to drink in front of you, because I know you're going to drink. And I just smiled and I said, are you going to try to hold me down, pour it down my throat? And they started laughing, and I said, I'll be all right, you know, because I had a reason to be there. I was going to watch the game. That's where we were meeting at. We parked right there. I went eight wings and walked over there. You know, for me, that was okay. Now, maybe I can't meet with them at the bar after work like we used to do every day. You know, sometimes I have wanted to do that, but I just know today that that's not, you know, at this moment, that's not for me, just to be going to hang out every, you know, because I liked that, you know, meeting with them after work. I felt a part of it. But that's just not where I'm at. But to go watch a game and meet up with the guys and go eat, you know, that was okay. And I also drive like a limo service in the weekend. And I was telling Morgan, I was, this past weekend, I was at the Hunter's Feast. And it's like a huge drinking. I mean, it is incredible. These people drink so much, and it's funny because I've driven for it maybe five or six times, and one or twice I think over my sobriety. So I've always, in the beginning when I was getting sober, I was in a judgmental phase. I think when I was first getting sober, always like, man, look at him. I bet you he's an alcoholic. Look at how he's drinking. And I was judging. And and this year I drove a group of guys. And I was really like, amazed by it, you know. I picked them up at 11, you know, they went there. I picked them up at a bar at 11 and took them to this Hunter's Feast. They drank there all day. And they were, I took them to three more bars and dropped them off at a bar at about 7. And I was thinking to myself, like, man, you know, I'm thankful where I'm at, but That's not my life. I couldn't drink like that. I could not have had alcohol available all day like that. And then these guys were I couldn't pace myself like that, I should say. You know, and I was in a very, like, just outside looking in, like, man, you know, that's how I know. Because I was always the party ruiner. I was the guy who has been thrown up by 12, especially somewhere far like that. We drove, it's an hour and a half, it's in Knott's Island. They would have been putting me in the car, cussing me out, saying, don't ever bring him again. You know, and I'm thankful, you know, to be here and just understand that, that's just not my life anymore. And to allow them guys, you know, we had a great time, man. You know, beyond tipping well, we just had a great time and interacting. They were living their life, you know, they were older, and they were just, you know, having fun. And I was like, man, would I come to something like this if I wasn't working? No. Because that's not, you know, that's not my life. And I, even though I think I'm spiritually fit to do something like that, I just probably wouldn't. Because there's no other reason for me. And that, just that decision is really not me, because I would want, I was always trying to be your friend. Please invite me, you know, let me come. Man, I would, and I'm thankful that the program has allowed me, you know, to clean house, to realize that, you know, I could still be those guys' friend and not have to go to that party, see him on at another function, you know. And that's definitely God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. All right, our next reading is on page 102. Why sit with a long face in places where there is drinking? Sighing about the good old days. If it is a happy occasion, try to increase the pleasure of those there. If a business occasion, go and attend to your business enthusiastically. If you are with a person who wants to eat in a bar, by all means go along. Let your friends know they are not to change their habits on your account. At a proper time and place, explain to all your friends why alcohol disagrees with you. If you do this thoroughly, few people will ask you to drink. While you were drinking, you were withdrawing from life little by little. Now you are getting back into the social life of this world. Don't start a withdrawal again just because your friends drink liquor. Your job now is to be at the place where you may be of maximum helpfulness to others. So never hesitate to go anywhere if you can be helpful. You should not hesitate to visit the most sordid spot on earth on such an errand. Keep on the firing line of life with these motives, and God will keep you unharmed. Mark.
All right. This is... Seems like a lot of the same question, but the social life of drinking and being, I find that these days I don't hesitate to tell people I don't drink. It doesn't. Very rarely do I feel like I have to hide that, so I'm very open with it. And they say, oh, something like, well, why don't you drink? And I said, because when I drink, this whole place changes. And they said, what do you mean? I said, I just, you know, it's just not enough. You know, I can't stop. I just allergic to alcohol. And these days, most people know what you're talking about. It's it's a little different than back a few years back. I feel like I think we're educating and the word getting out, you know, that alcoholism is a disease. And What's really surprising about that to me is I'm with some of the most educated people sometimes, and I can talk of alcoholism as a disease, and they agree with me right up to the point of why can't he have a couple drinks? Mm-hmm. You know, I say, well, you know, or somebody would say, well, I talked to my son and one time, straightened him right out. And I think, well, I mean, you know, alcoholics are a little different than that, you know. And I think it is a very hard thing to comprehend. So this being around drinking people, I do have a different head for it today. I try, if I think someone really has a problem, I do make an attempt to try to get the word out, or say, you know, get back together, give me a call, man, maybe some time, talk about it, or just say, give me a call, and talk to people, or I'll call people back that I know and ask them, you know, how they're doing, and it's easy to identify. And I'm, you know, really, it was funny when I was listening to Kevin, I'm still that guy, you know, I mean, when I think of drinking and partying, I'm still, you know, I was always that guy that wanted to go to Nag's Head at midnight, you know, I was that guy, and I still am that guy, you know, I mean, I'm getting a little older now, I don't quite have the energy, but you know, I'll grab a cup of coffee and let's go. You know, I mean, I feel like I got a lot of that same energy. So I identify with alcoholics really easily, and in the characteristics of us and what alcohol does to us. But it, you know, I try to keep my spirits up, and I do try openly to get the word to someone that I know that is suffering, and because I just remember, you know, you just remember it too well. It's too easy to remember, even after all these years, how they feel in the morning, and so I would say that little different attitude than I once was. I didn't want anybody to know I didn't drink, and don't feel that way today. Thanks.
A lot of my friends that I'm friends with now here, they didn't really realize how bad I drank, because me, I was a guy who would have one or two out with them, or even four or five, but it was very tempered because I wanted to get back home. And that's where at the end, I was completely isolating. I didn't even want to meet up with anybody because I didn't want to leave my little mile from my house. I'd go to 7-Eleven, Wing King, or Stop and Go Wing King back to my house. And, because I really wasn't comfortable drinking the way I knew that I wanted to drink, you know, anywhere far. No matter how much they were like, yo, come and meet these girls. There's so many girls here. Even though my brain was, yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to go here with y'all. I knew I always a flake, and then I ended up getting a bad name of being a flaker. They stopped inviting me, which was kind of fine, you know, because I like just going Wing King and going home. But, at the proper time, I did tell my friends of how I drank after I stopped drinking, because they didn't really understand it. And then, you know, they would ask me, and some of them drank like I drink, you know. And at first, I did have a little bit of self-righteousness to maybe want to tell them, man, you probably should come get help. But I don't know where it came from, because it didn't come from me, because I like being right. It came from just, I didn't know any better then, you know, until I was in pain to know better. And so I just had to allow them to not know any better, because if I would have took away alcohol, you know, from me without a solution, I don't know where I would have been. I really don't know where my life would have spiraled into, and you know, of, because alcohol was definitely, it worked until it didn't. And so I really can't think of anybody who I've told, you know, after I've taken the steps of, about their drinking, even though, you know, I know people who drink pretty badly. And because I just, you know, I really like when Mark was saying about compassion, I really feel it, man, that they just don't know any better, you know. And I pray for them, maybe behind the scenes, as I pray for myself, you know, that maybe God will help them like he helped me. But at the moment, he is helping them, because they're right in front of me. You know, they're still on this earth. They're not, you know, they're not dead, and they're still alive. So there's still some hope there. And I didn't win some sweepstakes, you know, to come to AA. I'm just here, you know, and I'm here, you know, because I'm here. And that's all I got.
Thank you. All right, final reading is on page 103. It's pretty quick. It says, after all, our problems were of our own making. Bottles were only a symbol. Besides, we have stopped fighting anybody or anything. We have to. A couple minutes.
Oh yeah, that's for sure from my life. I you know, one of my favorite sayings is, you can do that if you want to, but you don't have to. You know, just be wearing yourself out over situations that, you know, you can just stop, you know, and just be quiet and you know, and meditation and. Or I'll be wound up about something, and I'll be talking to somebody about, you know, what to do, and you know, or some work-related thing that's all wound up, and they'll just go, "Well, you don't need to do that. you're only doing that because you have some desire to do it, and I think this relates to that. And one thing I want to say, I know we're getting to the end here, I'm trying to make this talk a little more spirited, but the, you know, I think about when I was coming in here, I was thinking about the principles, practice these principles in all our affairs. And of course, what are the principles, you know? I mean, what are the principles? So I kind of thought, you know, just looking at it, with honesty, humility, action, acceptance, compassion, you know, and you know, what is the, what's the dilemma? What is the, you know, it's kind of like, I feel like alcoholism, you know, our, you know, that it's really unfortunate that we have to suffer and go so far down to find, you know, to their spirit, you know, our higher power, you know. You know, I mean, it's what we need to do. You know, we need to surrender. We need to quit fighting it. And it's, we think the thing, how you win it is you fight it. You know, that's our willpower. But really, we surrender to it. You know, we find the power that we need, and we go forward. And it's just a simple truth of it all that we. We find through defeat, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, you know, that we defeated. And the day that I was defeated, it was the day that I got relieved of the desire to drink. And it was just from hearing from one of you that could be true for me. That would really work in my life. I didn't have to keep suffering like I was. So I think that that's kind of what 12 in so many ways is, you know, practice these principles in all our affairs. And I feel like I'm grateful that I do that today. I feel like that's, if I looked at all the aspects of my life, all the things I do, I almost, they're just almost all like my program. You know, my church, my other obligations, where I volunteer, where I do, you know, they're the principles of AA. You know, that's what I come back to day in and day out. Thank you.
Thank you.
After all, problems are our own making, battles are our own symbol, we stop fighting anybody or anything. You know, for me, living spiritually, it is my whole life, because as soon as I start fighting, you know, I've lost. And just a quick story, my last customer today, I forgot we had a price increase 2 weeks ago when I was on vacation. He hasn't seen me. He was going like ballistic today. It's a little pizza shop at Ocean View. He was cussing, throwing stuff, he wanted, because it went up $20, right? And so the customers were looking at me. And in my head, I was just thinking, keep coming back. Because I hated that statement when I first came, but I didn't understand how important that was. Because I knew once he stopped cussing and screaming, I would leave and I would come back next week. I'm serious, it was that simple, because I knew there was nothing that, if I put my dukes up, you know, the first act of defense is the first act of war. There was nothing to fight with him about, because I couldn't see inside his head, and he was right, you know, from his side of the street. And from my side of the street, I just needed to stay centered in what I think I always say I am and wanted to be, you know, and I just wanted to be right there and be present in the moment. And the spiritual way for me was just to listen, and that's what I kept hearing, keep coming back. And because I think that things matter, I really do. I can get caught up in my head, and I've learned, you know, that they don't. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Right. All right, the Severance Tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each other's group's rent and other expenses, the Severance Tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, central office, local services, district area, and general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free from outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholics who still suffers. Although the amount of the contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world, we may remember that a dollar does not support as many services as it used to. All right, announcements. Are there any announcements for the good of AA?
JT.
The District 14 is having a chili cook-off.
A chili cook-off?
Absolutely.
Whoa.
What?
Chili cook-off. Let me pull up this handy-dandy flyer I have right here.
Thanks, JT.
It's chili cook-off, Tuesday, March 31st, 2020, 6:30. Bring a winning chili recipe, or just a chili recipe. Someone may win.
Not a recipe. Bring
the chili, yeah.
Bring the chili. bring the chili.
Yeah, someone might want that recipe. So, there's also a panel speakers that night as well. At 7:30 panel, and the panel's titled Modern Life and Life's Terms, Relationships and Recovery, Anonymity and Technology, Financial and Securities. So that address is Trinity Presbyterian, 1600 Colonial Avenue, Northern Virginia, 23517. Bring chili, bring side dishes as well. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing. Morgan.
I'm Morgan, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey Morgan.
Hello everybody. It's home group right here, 7 days from today, 1 week from now. We are having a supper and a speaker, and we will be packing this room with awesome food and fellowship and fun. We're gonna have a speaker named Trent S. coming down from the Outer Banks. And food at 6, bring a dish if you wish. It would be awesome if you did. Bring a newcomer, come have fun. Speaker will be at 7. That is 1 week from today, right here in this room. Thanks.
Thanks, Morgan. Mr. Francis.
Alcoholic David. The chili cook-off that JT described and the wonderful supper and speaker from this room that Morgan described, there's flyers for both of those events on that literature table over there. Certainly the ones for next week's event should all leave the room tonight. But if you could, just grab some, take them with you, help us get the word out. It's open to all. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, a common welfare. A word about safety. Your safety is important. Calling the proper authorities does not go against any AA traditions and is recommended when someone may have broken the law or endangered the safety of another person. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Thank you. Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. All right. Newcomers, is there anyone here for their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you.
Hi, I'm Mary. Okay.
Hey, Mary. Welcome.
Very welcome.
Glad you're here. Keep coming back.
Hey, welcome. Cool. All right. Literature. Literature table is right over here to the right. Literature is available. Please see me or any home group member after the meeting. We do have books available for sale if you'd like to purchase one. Sponsorship question. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have any questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available at this table after the closing of this meeting. Please feel free to talk to me. Reminders. Peace. Smokers, please use the butt can provided outside. Stay well away from the church doors, please. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. Closing, can we please thank our wonderful panel for showing up this evening? All Thanks to all who participated. After we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the step discussed tonight at the meeting after the meeting, which will be held at Plaza del Sol. It's right up the street at the Mexican restaurant. It's wonderful. Chorpollo. Would somebody please like to volunteer to read the last two paragraphs on page 164?
Hi, my name is JT.
Hey, JT.
Hey, JT.
164.
Say the last two paragraphs?
Yes, sir.
All right. Our budget is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God, and as you understand God, admit your faults to him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you. We have a great way to close it.
I know. Getting old, Ricky.